this is Memorial Day weekend, and so holiday weekend, and so we are especially proud of all of you for being in church on a holiday weekend. And we're glad that you're here tonight. It would be very difficult to preach to empty pews. And so anyway, we're glad that you're here. And those of you that are watching online, we welcome you as well to the Rhema Bible Church Sunday night service. We believe that you'll be blessed. And so stay tuned. We believe that we have a word that will minister to you as well, the needs that you have. And so thank you for joining us. And so, how many of you have ever noticed buildings? I was in the building trade before I called into the ministry. And so there's certain things that you can see about buildings that will make you pretty sure that they're going to be around for a long time. Or you can take a look at the building and say, you know, That building right there might last one generation, and that's about it. How many of you have been in some old buildings that have been around for generations? And how many of you have ever heard the comment, they don't build them like that anymore? Well, I don't know if that statement's exactly true, because there are some buildings that are being built that are very high quality and so forth. And we anticipate that those buildings will be around for a long time. And so, but it's kind of like that with our lives. And how many of you've watched some people that they've just built their lives solidly on the Word of God, and they have taken the time to develop and to become the kind of people that God can use. And then you have some other people that you meet once in a while, and they're excited. They probably might have more excitement than the person that's solidly built on the Word of God. They might have more flamboyancy, and they might have more flash and dash. But, those are not the kind of things that you use to build a life that will be serving God for many years. And the thing that I would encourage people to think about is, how do you want to end this thing? How do you want to end your life? Do you want to put some good years in, and then you want to take off on a tangent and get off into error and, you know, kind of drift and do some things? You know, you want to stand on the truth for a good many years and then, you know, just get off of it and go off and do something else? That's not my idea of a successful outcome. And so I've just said this many times, that I don't want to serve God for many years and then in my latter years just drift off into something, get crazy on something and just get off into air. I've seen some people do that. Have you seen some people do that? I've seen it happen. And so I just want to encourage you tonight. I believe that I have a word from God for some of you, especially on certain things, and we'll talk about that. And I want to talk about the life of Joseph tonight, just for a few minutes. Joseph is a pretty good example. There's a number of chapters in the book of Genesis that are devoted to him, and several other portions of scriptures as well. And Joseph, the story of Joseph begins in Genesis 37. And in a little bit, I'll ask you to turn there. But that story of Joseph stirs our soul to rise to new possibilities in our own lives. You know, how many of you have read something like Joseph, for example, and you think, I think I want to do something like that. I want something like that to happen to me. And so Joseph rose up from the humble life of being a shepherd's son to being second in command over a whole nation of Egypt. And that makes for a almost too good to be true story. And so the mention of Joseph's name lifts our thoughts to new levels and stirs our imagination to see what might be possible for us in our life as well. There are a lot of things about Joseph's life that we could point out that are very appealing. For example, Joseph was a dreamer. We like that. How many of you like the idea of being a dreamer? You know, and he was highly favored wherever he went. And And he had the ability to interpret dreams. God worked through him to do that. And he was very successful. Became second in command over all of Egypt. And in the end, ended up being able to save his family and their offspring. And these are noble things that Joseph accomplished. And so we like to think of those things. But let me just tell you this. It wasn't always that way for him. And so I'd like to say this, that we find the key to his phenomenal rise in life to, number one, the dreams that he had from God, and number two, his unswerving, undying, continual faithfulness to what he saw in those dreams. He never deviated from that. And so his life reminds us of what the prophet Habakkuk said in chapter 2, verse 3. He said these words. Habakkuk said these, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." I want you to know something. Listen to me tonight. You may find yourself in a position where you may have heard some things from God, and you've got some things in your heart, and you've been carrying these things in your heart. And just want to remind you that what God showed to Joseph did not come to pass immediately. As the years went by, actually, let me just say this. The years went by until the dreams came to pass. It gave Joseph enough time to develop and be ready when the things he had seen in the dream actually became a reality. And how many of you know that when you see something about the future, it doesn't mean that you're automatically ready to walk in that? It does mean this, that it's possible for you to have that. It means this, that God may be showing something of the future to you, and it may be something that's very well within the scope of where you're going. But friend, listen to me. Just because God showed it to you doesn't mean it's automatically going to happen. And so we have to recognize then that Joseph was shown something about his future, but it wasn't everything about his future, and he went through some surprising things considering the dreams he had. And so I believe that the dreams gave Joseph vision for his future. It gave him insight into the direction that he was to go and something that was going to happen in his life. And vision can come to us in many forms. And in Joseph's case, it came in the form of some dreams that he had. I'm not telling you tonight that all of you are literally going to have dreams from God. But I do believe this, that you have been given the Spirit of God. And the Bible says in John 16:13, he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. And so I believe we have a right to expect God to show us some things and to give us some insight into our future. And so Joseph's vision of the future, the dreams that he had, helped him greatly in the next number of years that he went through, helped him to stay steady in the face of criticism, misunderstanding, jealousy, envy and betrayal, false accusations, wrongful imprisonment, and being forgotten by others. And so Joseph went through a number of things. He had the dreams, and he was excited. And so his brothers hated him for because he had those dreams. He shared them with him, and they hated him, and they were jealous of Joseph because of the special treatment that he received from his father. Actually, his father meant it for good and meant it well to him. But the truth of the matter is that Jacob really didn't give Joseph any favors, didn't cut him any favors by playing favorites with him, because it turned all his other siblings against him And so he had some things that he had to endure. In the end, his father didn't understand the dreams either. And so his dad just rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But the truth is that Jacob went and pondered these things and thought about these things. And that lets me know that he didn't understand the dreams either. And so his brothers ended up selling him into slavery. Potiphar's wife, Potiphar bought him and made a slave of him, put him in charge of the household. You know the story. Potiphar's wife accused him, falsely accused him of rape. And Potiphar then sentenced him to prison because of his wife's accusation. We're not really sure, historians are not really sure that Potiphar exactly believed his wife, but blood is always thicker than water. How many of you found that out? That to be true. And so Pharaoh's, while he was in prison, Pharaoh's chief butler and the baker came and they shared their dreams with him. He gave them the interpretations and he asked the butler, "Remember me when you go back to serve Pharaoh." And what did he do? He promptly forgot him. And it was another 2 years in prison he was in prison before he was released. Joseph is an example that shows us the power of having a glimpse of our future, of having a vision that God would give us of what God wants us to do in our future. Joseph's vision for the future enabled him personally to be very successful and to be prosperous and to have great favor. And so... Joseph's vision also enabled him to be in a position to help Egypt in the time of great difficulty, 7 years of famine. And he knew what to do. He was prepared by that time. And so we also know this, that Joseph's vision that he had, unbeknownst to his brothers and to his family, actually, as he followed faithfully after the vision that God gave him, the dreams that God gave him, it actually put him in a position to be a savior to his family and to help them to be in a position to make it through the 7 years of famine. And so, you know, typically Bible scholars look at Joseph as a type of Christ in that he was a savior of his family. And of course, Christ is the savior of the world. Isn't that right? And so let's just put it this way. Joseph's life shows us that our lives are better if we hear from God and see something about the future that we have. And if we'll follow faithfully. It requires following faithfully the things that God has for us, that he has spoken to us. It enables us to see the invisible, see things that other people don't see. It empowers us to be able to accomplish things that to other people it seems impossible. You say, "Wow, look at what they did." Well, they saw something and started following after it. And eventually, something was accomplished that was far beyond what most people thought could happen. And I want to encourage you tonight that God may have showed you something, and some people may cheer you on, and maybe you found some people that rained on your parade when you shared your dream with them. Maybe they criticized you. Maybe they rebuked you like Jacob did his son. But I want you to know something. Don't let go of the dream. Don't let go of what God's put inside of you. But be patient and wait for it, as the prophet Habakkuk said, because it will surely come to pass. And so we like to think of it this way then, that some people look at the story of Joseph, and they say, "Well, you know, he was more loved by his father, and so he was treated special. And so, you know, if I came from a situation like that, where they just treated me special, you know, and just gave me everything I wanted, I could probably rise up too." But the truth of the matter is, let's take a look. I want you to see a couple of things about Joseph. He started out, Genesis chapter 37, verse 2. This is the first mention of Joseph's, the story of Joseph. And it says in verse 2, this is the history of Jacob, Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. And so let me just give you a couple things here real quickly. Number one, Joseph brought a bad report. It was actually, the Hebrew would language would indicate a slanderous report. It would also indicate that the report was perhaps not just what happened out in the fields, but his brothers were involved in things that other people knew about and caused a bad name for the family. And so Joseph brought the report back to Jacob, and you can imagine how his brothers reacted to that. I'm sure they called him a tattletale and worse. And so that did not create any favor. Scandalous conduct of his brothers was something that he disapproved of. And so there was a rightness within him concerning some of those things. And he attempted to do right, but it certainly wasn't appreciated by some people. And so Jacob, in chapter 37, verse 3, we're going to rapidly move through some of these things. But I just want to point some things out to you. Jacob was a favored child of Joseph was a favored child of Jacob. And as a result, I would just say this, because of the way that he talked to his brothers about the dreams that he had, even though he knew that they hated him. He knew they hated him, but he shared the dreams anyway. And so there's probably, by the time that he was highly favored and had a special coat made, and that special coat was not just something ordinary, it was a full-length coat. It went clear down to the shoes, and it indicated special favor, but it also, as some scholars would indicate, that it probably indicated birthright privileges. The other brothers that would have ordinarily gotten the birthright had been disqualified, and so Jacob had transferred the birthright privileges to Joseph, and so there's some belief in that. And so by the time his brothers saw all of that, it didn't help Joseph either. And the other thing that you noticed is this, that you read a little further in verses 12 and 13, you'll find out that Joseph didn't always have to go out in the fields and take care of sheep. He could stay at the tents because he was at home. And so Jacob said, I need to know what's happening with your brothers, Joseph. Would you go check on them? And so we don't know exactly what happened there, but you know, how many of you grew up with siblings, and when one of them got to do something, the rest of them didn't, there was some outcry about that. I remember I come from a family of seven. There were six brothers and one sister, and so if one of us got to do something the others didn't, there was some talk going on amongst the ranks. You know, you kind of had to watch yourself with your special privileges, because the special privileges could be a little painful, you know, if they caught you out back somewhere. And so anyway, and so we go on to the time when it says that Joseph had some dreams come to him, verses 6 through 10. We can read about that. He had dreams from God. He actually had two dreams from God. And in both of those, it showed that the 11 stars and the sheaves of wheat bowed down to him. And of course, the meaning was fairly plain, fairly clear. But he went and told his brothers. And now listen to me. Wouldn't you think, listen to me, if Tim up here on the front row hated me, you would think I'd be careful what I'd say to him. Isn't that right? Because I would figure out that if I had a dream from God and Tim wasn't happy with me anyway, and I went and told it to him anyway, I probably would come across like I'm lording it over him just a little bit. I'm kind of putting it in his face a little bit. And perhaps perhaps I'm showing him that hey, look, I do have something. And when I come to be the head of the clan after Jacob's gone, I got something going for me. I got God even said I ought to be the head of this thing. And it says the brothers hated him even more. And they were envious of him. And so perhaps Joseph meant well, but rather a little bit immature at 17 years old and how he handled some of those things. Now he's not alone in that. Isn't that right? How many of you had a little flashback? Well, you don't have to answer that, but we've all had a few immature moments. Hopefully those are long ago. You understand what I mean by that. And so, but here's the thing, that things didn't always just go exactly the way positively for him. And so we know that Joseph as a young teenager received a vision and for two dreams from God. It didn't happen right away. Matter of fact, after receiving the vision for the future, a series of circumstances and experience followed that actually God used to help Joseph develop into the person that he needed to be in order to successfully walk in the future that he'd shown to him. In other words, here's the thing. God had to work some things out of Joseph, first of all. Perhaps a little entitlement mentality. Perhaps a little immaturity had to be gotten out. Just some things like that. And maybe it appeared a time where he'd learned to be more wise in what he said and in picking the right time to say those things. How many of you know that those are some things that are very important to learn? And so we need to realize then that God often does that with our lives. He shows us some things and then he leads us through some experiences, some circumstances that we'd rather not go through. How many of you have had a few of those? You'd rather not go through. But listen to me, you're here tonight. Now look at, check yourself, make sure you're here. Amen? Amen. Help your neighbor out. Tell him you're here. Yeah, all right. Amen. And let me tell you something. Now listen to me. The fact that you're here tells me that somehow coming through those experiences and those circumstances, you turn to God and somehow you've risen higher. You didn't give up on God, because if you give up on God, you wouldn't be here, would you? But no, listen to me. You can either give up in the middle of those negative circumstances, or you can allow God to do a work in your life in the middle of those things. Joseph had some circumstances that were unbelievable. Just absolutely almost crazy, so to speak, of the things that started happening to him. How many of you have had a few feelings like that? Man, this is unbelievable. I can never imagine this would happen to me. And I can tell you this. I know this by the Spirit, that there is at least one person I know tonight. I don't know how many. But there's at least one person here tonight that you have felt that your life, by and large, has been a waste. And I want to tell you tonight that God doesn't waste anything. I said, God doesn't waste anything. The things that you think are a waste are the very things that God will turn around and he'll pull something valuable out of that and enable you to be able to deal with things later in your future that you would, you will almost at some point, let me just tell you this, sometime in the future, if you'll continue to follow God, you'll thank God for every experience you had and every circumstance you were in. Because in looking back, you'll see the work that God did in you during those times, how that you strengthened in faith, how that you walked with God when it didn't feel like you could, and how that the wisdom that you gained out of that and so forth, and how you learned to handle some pressure How many of you know that's a necessary thing? Some people trying their best. They got every effort, all their whole strength is involved in just, oh, I don't want any pressure. I don't want any pressure. I don't want it. Oh, no, I'm just avoiding pressure. And let me just tell you this. Life is in many, many cases can be a real pressure cooker. How many of you know what I mean by that? That's an old fashioned. How many of you know what a pressure cooker is? How many of you don't know? How many of you don't know what a pressure cooker is? Well, I know you're not going to let me know that, but I want to tell you, listen to me, because you don't want to say, I don't know. Well, you know, I'm old enough that I know what one of those is. Mom used to use one to can, put the jars in there and they'd pressure seal those and everything. And so it was a real pressure situation. She'd have a little a gauge on the top, and you had to watch it. You didn't get too much pressure in there. You didn't want that thing to blow. You know, there was always a few stories floating around. Somebody's pressure cooker blew, you know. And my brothers and I thought, we don't really want it to happen. But if it's going to happen, we'd like to be around to see it. How many of you ever been around? How many of you ever thought things like that, you know? Amen. So anyway, but listen to me. Don't spend your time avoiding pressure. Instead, ask God to learn how to handle it. Because he's not taking you out of the world, so to speak. Just, you know, understand, just because there's pressure there. But he's helping you how to live in this world. And pressure's all around. Everybody deals with pressure. If you don't learn how to deal with pressure, there's not a lot of things that you'll be able to accomplish. Okay? We don't necessarily like those kind of things. I don't know of anybody. I mean, looking at Joseph's experiences, I don't know anybody that likes to be falsely accused. And yet he was. Not only that, but he was thrown in prison for it. He was treated as if he was guilty of the very thing that he didn't do. And in Psalms, you can read that he had iron fetters. It wasn't some comfortable prison that he could turn the air conditioner on or you know, order a meal three times a day or watch television. I'll tell you what it was. The Psalms tells us that he had iron fetters on his feet that cut into his legs. And it was not a very nice smelling place. And I can tell you, listen to me, I can't imagine, you know, I've never had negative circumstances to that extent. God gave me a vision, would give you a vision for the future, and you end up in jail with fetters on your legs that cut in, that make your legs bleed, that's painful, it stinks so bad that you can't hardly breathe. And in moments like that, you wonder, can the dream still come to pass? Can the dream still come to pass? I'm sure Joseph had a few thoughts, a few questions that crossed his mind. How do I know? He's human. He was human. Any human being would have questions in their mind. The issue is this: you can have questions, but you don't necessarily act on those questions. You don't let those questions lead you astray. How many of you have had a few questions about some of the circumstances you've been in? But listen to me. You've got to learn in the middle of not understanding why you're where you're at. You've got to learn to stay steady anyway. Why? Because there's something that you're coming to, that you're headed to. Something that God's spoken to you about. And I want to tell you something tonight. Listen to me. I'm running out of time, but I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Don't let the circumstances cause you to detour your faith. Don't let the experiences, the negative experiences in your life, cause you to give up and abandon your faith. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. The Bible says this, that the end of a matter is greater than the beginning. I'm here to tell you tonight, listen to me, the greatest your greatest moment's still ahead of you. If you're still breathing, then that means that your greatest moment is still ahead of you. Isn't that right? That has to be true. But listen to me. For you to encounter that great moment is something that is yet to be determined as to whether we're faithful to that. Joseph, listen to me, while Joseph, when it looked like nothing was going to happen, let me tell you something. Three things he did. He kept a good attitude no matter what people did to him and what his surroundings were. Kept a good attitude. You know, how many of you know that's a fight in itself? And then number two, he maintained a servant heart in the midst of dire and unpleasant circumstances. And so I know he had a servant's heart because he served Potiphar faithfully. And not only that, but when he was in prison, instead of sitting around and sulking and pouting and planning to escape and all of that, what did he do? He went and served the rest of the prisoners. He really did. And so he had a servant's heart. And so maintain a servant's heart. Be busy serving others. And even if you think that you should be able to have greater privileges than that, just stay steady serving where you are. Let me tell you, God's got something in mind. And then listen to this. He remained faithful in his current duties even when it looked like nothing else would come to him. In other words, he remained faithful doing what he was currently doing, and he would have stayed doing that, made up his mind that he was going to do that and continue to do that, even if nothing else changed. Let me tell you something. When you have that attitude, let me tell you this. Listen to me. You got to learn to look at the situation you're in, the place you're in. You might not like it. Matter of fact, I'm going to pray for people tonight that are not in situations that they like. Matter of fact, some of you are in some difficult situations. It's not particularly pleasant where you're at. And I'm going to pray for you. And I want to tell you this, listen to me. I believe it's important that in the midst of difficult circumstances and situations that are unpleasant, that we stay steady and consistently keep doing the duties that we're supposed to be doing. See, the issue is this, that God is looking for faithful people. Now listen to this. Joseph, here's what happened then. Joseph learned not to be moved by problems or prosperity. He wasn't moved by the good or the bad. That takes a little learning, doesn't it? And then number two, Joseph learned to serve God whether he was being treated right or not. He just kept serving God. And then number three, Joseph learned to look to God no matter what people did against him or for him. I mean, if you know, if some people do some things for you, but you got to watch out because it's not free. In other words, you got to look past that which is being done for you, and make sure that there's no strings attached. In other words, or if there are strings attached, that it's taking you in the right direction. Do you understand what I mean by that? And so we have to understand then that Joseph recognized the opportunity when he came to him, and in Genesis 41:14 it says Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved and changed his clothing and came to Pharaoh. And he came humbly before Pharaoh. He didn't come to Pharaoh and says, "I've come to complain about your prison." He didn't do that, did he? He didn't say, "I want to talk to you about that Potiphar that works for you. I was not treated right by him." He didn't do that either, did he? No, what did he do? He came humbly. He came humbly before Pharaoh. Listen to me. Maintain a humble attitude. Listen to me. How many of you have already had somebody do you something wrong to you? If you breathe, you probably had somebody do something wrong to you. Listen to me. Don't get off on a tangent on that. Don't live there for the rest of your life. Instead, humble yourselves, keep looking to God, and let God raise you up. And just let go of that. Let it go. Amen? Amen. And so we just need to realize then that Joseph was ready. And so he went to the, listen to this, he went from the prison to the palace in one day. But now listen to this. What looked like something that happened suddenly, giving him seemingly overnight success, was actually the result. Listen to this. Was actually the result of Joseph's continued faithfulness to his dreams for 13 years, no matter where he was or what his situation was. He was 17 when these things started happening. And he was 30 when he became second in command over Egypt. 13 years, most of it spent in prison and in slavery. Almost all of it. God raised him up. Let me tell you something. If God can raise Joseph up, he can raise you up too. But I want to tell you something. Until he does, then you stay faithful. Keep a good attitude. Servant's heart. Stay consistently doing what you're supposed to be doing right now. And even if it's not the kind of place you like, even if you hate going there, even if you think to yourself, I don't know if I can stand another day there. Even if you think none of them are treating me right. They're not treating me right. Let me tell you something. You stop focusing on that and start focusing on a mighty God that's watching out for you. And God will bring you through. God will bring you through. There'll come a time when you can move, when it seems like almost overnight, you go from the dire, negative, difficult, unpleasant circumstances into a place that you could hardly even dream about, like Joseph did. My question to you tonight is this. Are you ready for God's suddenlies? Are you ready for the sudden moment that God moves? And there you are. You've got the opportunity to go up. Are you ready for that? Have you been faithful? Are you faithful? Do you have the right attitude? Have you let go? Is the circumstances not bothering you or distracting you from serving God? Are you still faithful doing what God said to do? Have you kept the dream inside of you so that when the moment comes, you're the kind of person that God can use? Are you the kind of person that can step up into a position? Because you know, when he went from the prison to the palace, let me tell you something. I noticed this about promotion. And let's say it this way. Responsibilities will increase. Pressure will rise. And there'll be, you become more visible, and more people will tend to criticize you than ever before. Are you ready to handle that in the midst of all the things that God is raising you up to do? And so I'm just going to tell you something. Listen to me. I'm just going to tell you something. Listen to me. Stay faithful. Stand to your feet, please. I don't have a good cutting off place. I have way too many notes tonight to cover it in detail, but I just kind of hop, skipped, and jumped over the messages and the things that God's been speaking to my heart about. And if you're here tonight and you're in a difficult situation, and you find it a very trying situation, or you're in an unpleasant situation, somebody's making it unpleasant for you, or you're wondering, why in the world can't I be trusted with more? Lord, don't you have anything better? I know there's people here tonight, you've thought that thought. Don't you have something better? I mean, just look at all the people that I know that I graduated with or whatever. They've all left me behind. Look at where I'm at. I'm just here. I'm just this. I'm just that. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. I want you to lift your hand to heaven if that's you. I'm going to pray for you right now where you're at in Jesus' name. Father, we see these people with uplifted hands. Lord God, they're endeavoring to be faithful to you, to the dream that God is, that you've given to them, to the things that they've spoken, that you've spoken to their hearts. Now, Father, strengthen them. Let your strength come upon them now. In the name of Jesus, receive the strength of God. In the name of Jesus, receive what God's God, the ministry that God's giving to you right now. The Bible says that God is the lifter of your head. And let me tell you something. Let him lift you up. He will lift you up. He will bring you forth. But right now, where you're at, Lord, strengthen their feet that they may be able to stand. Strengthen their hands that they may be able to do the work. In the name of Jesus, strengthen them in their thought life and in their emotions that they may be able to maintain good attitudes and a servant's heart. Help them to remain humble in your sight and to depend upon you to raise you up, to raise them up. That Father God, now I know this, you have reached out, you said this in your word, that you can reach down with your mighty hand and raise your people up. I thank you, Father, that your promise is true, that you are faithful. Now I thank you that you meet their needs. Help them, Father. For those people that have been hurt so badly by what others have done, I pray healing for you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Touch their lives right now where they're at in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord would have you know not to despise where you're at, but just to begin to look to him even more than you have up till now. But understand this, that even where you are now, that God is working in your life. It may not seem as if it is that which has been spoken in your heart in times past, but there are necessary things that must be done so that you be able to walk in the things that you've seen in the past that God has spoken to you. So do not despise the place where you're at now, but begin to reap the benefit of it by looking to the Lord and receiving from him, expecting him to help you, expecting him to give you favor, expecting him to cause you to succeed where you're at right now so that you're qualified for other things as well. So Father, we thank you now. Bless these people in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I hope something helped you tonight that I said to you. I trust something that was said tonight will stick with you. So the next time you want to cut and run, you'll enjoy the thought, but you won't do it. Instead, you'll stay steady. Amen. Stay steady. Look at your neighbor and tell him, stay steady. Amen. Look at somebody else and say, let God raise you up. Amen. Hallelujah. Joseph's story was not overnight. It's not a Cinderella story. But I want to tell you something. It is a picture of God working in somebody's life and getting him ready to do something great. I believe God's doing that for us as well. And so I believe as we go from this place tonight, let us be assured that God knows where we're at. He knows every difficulty. He knows everything that you have to deal with. And he's right there to help you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll have the prayer team come down and they're going to pray and believe God with you. If you need prayer for anything, the men will be over here. So men, if you need prayer, come over to these guys. Ladies will be over here. So ladies, if you need prayer for anything, come over to these ladies right here. And so right now, connection team, if you would find those people, first-time guests, and take them to the West Lobby to get their wonderful gift. We want to thank you. We want to thank you for being here tonight. And so we believe that you be blessed. Let's give our first-time guests a great big hand again. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here tonight. And to all of you, thank you for being here tonight. We appreciate you very much. We love you all. And we believe for you to have a great time tomorrow. Also a great week. Remember, Wednesday evening, Hour of Power. Be here and you'll receive more good things from the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Shake hands with a few people and let them know that you believe God's working in their life. Amen.